In fact, most of that pullback occurred a few weeks ago, and since then it's just been doing this. So it's not really correcting anymore. It's our in fact, we're about to put out a short-term technical report on silver, not focused on the big picture, but just what's going on right now. And it's basic. When we run weekly momentum, day-by-day action against the three-week average or a 15-day average of weekly momentum, it's built a base. As you look at the momentum chart and say, hey, that's a base. You don't see it on the price chart, but you see it on momentum. And it wouldn't take but, half a percent or so above where you're trading right now to close out tomorrow or any day next week. And the momentum says, okay, you're going up out of here. Then there's the other spread. Want me
Tell me
to
about it.
keep going? Okay.
Yep, tell me about it.
Gold versus the US stock market. Monetary
Yeah.
metal versus the US stock market.
I'm all ears.
In 2011, gold peaked in price at 1900 plus, came down, bear market, really got going in 2013. It's when it really started to collapse. And it collapsed all the way down to late 2015. During that time, if you divide the price of front month gold contract into S&P, you saw a declining relative performance, reflective of the sharp decline in gold. Over the last 11 years, since 2014, in fact, if you plot that spread chart and divide an ounce of gold into S&P at the end of each month, dot, 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 okay, you have what's clearly a basing action, meaning gold actually for the last 11 years has been better than, worse than, better than, worse than, but mostly better than the S&P actually. First off, oil tends to move with the Bloomberg Commodity Index. In other words, it moves as a commodity pretty much in sync with the broad category. And you'll find that many commodities do tend to move with the Bloomberg. In other words, it's not like they're on their own and oil has a big bowl and grains go down. They tend to go up together and go down together. And you can simply do that by finding a monthly Bloomberg Commodity Index chart, go back a couple decades, and then plot an oil chart, and you'll see the big moves are tend to be in sync.
Michael Oliver, good afternoon to you, my friend. How are you?
Great, Andy.
Yeah, great to have you on. By the way, you don't expect me to say this, but I have a big investment group in Atlanta, and they're all big fans of yours and follow you closely. So you're talking about anywhere from ballparking 40 to 100 investors there that are all
Good,
very, they
great.
want to listen to you. And I told them,
Okay.
I just met with them. They all wanted to listen to you, what you had to say today, just in Atlanta. But a lot of people tune into you. So let's talk about go to real quickly. Gold and silver. We had that just dramatic steep run. It looks like we've pulled back here. What are your thoughts on that? And it was a violent correction, and also in the miners. Talk to me about that, if that's just a shakeout.
Yeah, well, as you said, they had a massive run. I mean, look at what like GDX did over the last 5 months. Off the page, nothing in the stock market matched that.
Right.
Okay. And naturally, they take a breath. I mean, like GDX, the 2011 high, I think was 60 something, mid 60s. We went up to 80 in a heartbeat. And we pull back into the high 60s. I think right now we're around 70 something. I mean, give it a break, okay? Silver, same story. It's been outperforming gold at least over the last prior 5 months or so, not over the last couple of years, and surged massively, percent-wise. It went from the mid-30s to 53. Boom, So it has a sharp pullback. Fine. In fact, most of that pullback occurred a few weeks ago, and since then it's just been doing this. So it's not really correcting anymore. It's our in fact, we're about to put out a short-term technical report on silver, not focused on the big picture, but just what's going on right now. And it's basing. When we run weekly momentum, day-by-day action against the three-week average or a 15-day average of weekly momentum, it's built a base. As you look at the momentum chart and say, hey, that's a base. You don't see it on the price chart, but you see it on momentum. And it wouldn't take but, half a percent or so above where you're trading right now to close out tomorrow or any day next week. And the momentum says, okay, you're going up out of here. Okay, if you didn't buy the dip, sorry, goodbye. And it sort of made sense in a way. You think about it. Pardon me, there's a lot of idiot investors out there. People who buy late, they don't believe it until it does something outstanding. Well, so silver took out the prior highs of 50 bucks, 50 bucks in a massive run. They weren't in there then. Okay. It gets out above 50. They say, oh, I got to buy that. Okay. Well, after what, 5 months of verticality, then now they're going to join in. It's appropriate you should bag them. Okay. At least for a short term. Teach them a lesson. Don't buy late. Buy at appropriate times. And don't judge the market by the fact that you're losing money because you bought late. Okay. Anyway, I think it's about over. Silver drop. I think it's ready to go back up. And I think you're likely to see that either tomorrow or next week sometime. You'll see an upturn that's sufficient to say, oh, back up. And then game's on again. But we can get into it in a minute if you want to, but there's a bigger metric in play here to watch rather than silver price or gold price.
Let's talk about that. What's the bigger metric that you're looking at, the bigger
Okay.
indicator?
It's the silver versus gold situation, the performance. Well, both of them have been going up. We had a big surge in both in 2020. Okay. Silver like doubled, went from 15 to 30, and gold went up 40, 50%. Silver beat gold during that surge. But ever since a peak spread reading between silver and gold in 2021, I think it was January, silver performance has declined relative to gold. They've both gone up, both have been very rewarding, but silver hasn't matched the percent gain that gold has produced since that point in time. But when you examine the spread chart, it's like it's price versus price. We divide an ounce of silver to an ounce of gold, express it as a percent. And there is a very clear ceiling that this spread chart, this relative performance chart, has built since last 3 years. Bangs at a certain level, backs off. Hits a certain level, backs off. Comes back up near that certain level again with intent. It's right now the silver divided into gold is worth about 1.2%. Okay. You get much over 1.3% and the lid comes off. You'll then rush, silver will rush to the upside in relative performance terms. And anytime this has happened before, two prior major examples were in 79 to 80 bull move, in which silver in the last 5 months of that move quadrupled in price. Quadrupled in price in 5 months. And in the last 6 months of the run up to the April 2011 peak in silver around 50, it turned up in September of 2010 versus gold. Spread chart broke out. And that's when silver went berserk. It went up 2.5-fold. Okay. Well, okay, we're at 50 buck area. You want to go up 2.5-fold? You want to double or so? Okay, it could be well over 100. Okay, and if you match the 79 move, you'd be 200. Okay, now there's other reasons, and again, the signal indicator that warned at those times that something berserk was going to happen was the spread chart. Yep, it wasn't the fact that silver was already going up, gold was already going up. They'd already spoken. I'm in a bull trend. Okay. What told you that silver is going to go ape? The spread broke out
This really.
and it caught up. And now we have even more pent up technical and fundamental rationale to blow silver through the roof, to catch up to gold in a longer term perspective. Because if you go back into the bull trends, 79, 80, 2010, 11, the tail end of those, silver surged to 3.5% or more of the price of gold. Well, heck, we're 1.2. Ooh. All you do is match those and you put the number on it. Plus, gold's going to be going up the same time. And the other thing, all these people will say, oh my gosh, gold and silver had a huge move. They got to get up. It could be a top or it's exhausted, et cetera. We're only fourfold increase in gold since its last bear low. The two prior bull markets, 76 to 80, 2001, 2011, different time spans, eightfold moves. Okay. Okay. Why is it overdone? And then when you look at silver, we ran some studies recently comparing, arguing for a quote, new reality. And the reality that's prevailed in silver for 50 years, it's been 50 down, 50 down, 50. You're stuck in a box. Well, if you go look at copper or even lead, okay, and go back into the 70s, 1980s, 2000, they lived in a range. Much like silver's lived in a range for 50 years. They were in one, a similar range. In 2005 and 6, copper broke out of that range, price range it had been in, into a new reality. And in getting to the new reality, it quadrupled in price in a couple quarters.
Wow, really
Quadrupled.
quick.
Okay. And now, since then, copper's lived in a new range. That if you take the average of the last 10 years of price action or so in copper and compare it to that prior range, it's like four times the level of that range. Lead did the same thing, but in 2007, it lived in a range for multiple decades, broke through it in literally two quarters, quadrupled in price, and then has since lived in a much higher zone of reality. How come silver's still stuck in the same zone of reality that prevailed in the 70s, the 80s? What's going on? Gold hasn't lived below the 1980 high, which was 850. It went to a 1900, then pulled back, then now it's 4000. How come silver's still contained below the 1980 high? Well, I mean, I'm not going to try to explain, but it's clear something's wrong. And it could be that the silver has been artificially suppressed by banks, perhaps motivated by the central bank, urging them to and whatever the reason, it's not done what so many commodities have done. Like look at the price of bread, for example. Okay, and what's going on here? The point is that when they go to a new reality, they don't crawl their way up there. If they've made a mistake by staying low too long, when they break out, they say, it's over. And they go to a new reality in a lightning bolt. And most people miss it. We're arguing that technically, silver is now poised to go into a new reality. And I'm suggesting that once you break the silver gold spread out, at that point, count about 6 months, and I bet we're well over 100 and maybe 200 in that time span to go to a new reality.
I think the best way as I can put what you said, it's like it's almost like a boiling pot, and when it blows, it blows, and it comes all at once and very quick. That's my first thought. And really my second thought is that everything goes really where it should be, regardless of their suppression or whatever. It's going to go there. It goes where it should be. And I think that's why where the spread is really helpful, because it shows where things should be. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, and even in 20 of the last 50 years, silver's at least been 2% the price of gold, even in non-bull market years. Even go from 1.2 to 2 is an enormous gain of silver doubling versus gold, So anyway, I think we're sitting on a tinderbox. It's technically definable, and that spread is very important because it was that spread breakout, similar situation we have now, pending, that occurred back in 79, 5 months before you quadrupled, and occurred in starting in September 2010, before you doubled in a half in the next 6 months. We have the same technical situation, the tinderbox, in other words, it's set up. And when we run momentum of that spread, not just the spread itself, but run it against like a 10-month average and we plot it as an oscillator, you're at the breakout level right now. You're pushing right at the final threshold level. So momentum usually leads, in this case, the spread. So we're about as highly convinced as we've ever been on any market move that this is about to happen. We're waiting on that trigger level. And I think it's probably going to occur this coming month or this month.
Okay, so really for investors, if they were waiting for, or traders, if they were waiting for an entry point, this is just a gift, really, just this recent sell-off, a gift
This
for
is,
gold.
yeah, in other words, what that spread is saying, and I'll mention another spread in a minute, is it's just begun. That's what the spread says. It's not saying I'm over, it says it's just begun. And when we go to that new reality in silver, you're not going back to 50 again, okay? You're going into a new reality. Oh, sure, after the initial surge, you'll probably have a sell-off, but that's not the issue. The point is you're going from one reality to another. And likely that reality could be three, four times higher than where you've been for the last 50 years. And the issue is catching that transition. And then there's the other spread. Want me
Tell me
to
about it.
keep going? Okay.
Yep, tell me about it.
Gold versus the U.S. stock market. Monetary
Yeah.
metal versus the U.S. stock market.
I'm all ears.
In 2011, gold peaked in price at 1900 plus. It came down, bear market. Really got going in 2013 is when it really started to collapse. And it collapsed all the way down to late 2015. During that time, if you divide the price of front month gold contract into S&P, you saw a declining relative performance reflective of the sharp decline in gold. Over the last 11 years, since 2014, in fact, if you plot that spread chart, divide an ounce of gold into S&P at the end of each month, dot, 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 dot. Okay, you have what's clearly a basing action, meaning gold actually for the last 11 years has been better than, worse than, better than, worse than, but mostly better than the S&P actually, but still confined in a spread chart range that if you looked at the spread chart, you'd say, my golly, that's a base. Okay. You're at pushing at the top of that base breakout right now. Monthly close, 60% gold price divided into S&P. If it's 60% or higher, it's a breakout. We're at 58.5% right now. Okay, now, another issue. The S&P is a distorted index. Everybody sort of knows that. Top five stocks constitute 30% of the 500 stocks. And they're mostly what? You know, NVIDIA, Microsoft, et cetera, et cetera. Same is true with NASDAQ 100. Its first five or six stocks are 50% of its index weighting. And again, they're those stocks. If we divide gold into the New York Composite Index, which is not front-end weighted with a handful of stocks, or the Dow 30, which is also not heavily weighted in that manner, gold's already broken out. The same basing pattern, 10, 11 years, gold's already broken through. So actually, versus the stock market as a category, what's the better place to be? That spread says it's just begun to
Interesting.
shift. And you don't break that spread out and something end. That's the beginning. All we're waiting on now are those idiot indexes that so distorted that, you know, everybody knows it, but they seem to think it'll go on forever. And we're a percent or so away from breaking out versus the S&P. When that happens, slam your hand on the table. Probably that will occur simultaneous with silver breaking out versus gold, in which case you've got two spread indicators that say major shift just beginning. There. That I think is really the way to define the game right now.
Yeah, and it really works really well with the thesis of the stock market. Again, you mentioned the S&P, having a handful of stocks really propping it up. It really works, which is a very ugly, non-healthy market, if you would.
Yeah.
But this works really well with your theory. And again, it's a theory I share that just a few stocks are holding up the S&P and the money flowing into the metals, if you would, correct?
Oh yeah. No, and it you could tell there's already a lot of money flow already underway because look what happened to the gold and silver miners recently, last 5, 6 months. All of a sudden, some kind of money flow came into that beast. You know, very underpriced. We know that it's very underpriced versus gold. Gold, silver miners underpriced versus anything. Okay, historically. And all of a sudden, you took a GDX from the 40s and took it up to 80 in what, 5, 6 months? And there's no table pounding out there? Instead, oh, it's topping. It went too far. It just broke out above the 2011 high. Give it a break. Let it have a breather. Okay. It's not over. It's just beginning. And so I think that's evidence that there already is some money starting to move out of the stock bubble into monetary metals and associated stocks. Wait, when the stock market breaks further, it becomes more obvious to the average investor, then the money flow could be terrific.
Yeah, and that's a great theory too, and a great point. Typically, when I say typical, we don't know exactly when or what will happen, but you'll get a money flow from an asset that's falling into something that's performing relatively well to that asset. And again, just thinking of money flows here. Talk a little bit more about the miners here. They had that massive breakout here. I don't know. It was about 5, 6 months ago. We had this huge run, and then we had this really sharp pullback. I was somewhat expecting that, if you would, just because so much money had been made in them. But I'm actually looking now to redeploy some funds here. Talk to me about that. What are your thoughts on the miners?
Again, if you kept a spread chart of gold miners, let's say GDX, divided into an ounce of gold and plotted that as a spread chart, you'll see also since 2020 high, when the miners surged more than gold, the miners have been underperforming, staircasing down. But I think it was in March, no, it was in May. The spread broke out, meaning there was a good structure on the spread where you could plot a line going back about 2 years, a channel, and you broke through it. And it was at that point when the spread broke out, what happened? Price went vertical. You almost doubled GDX in the next handful of months. So again, the spreads are potent. But when you go back and measure, let's say, the XAU index, which is gold and silver miners, and go back into the 1980s, it has a good history on it. And you'll see that in the 80s, the 90s, into 2000 to about 2008, so for a couple decades there, it lived in a range, a relative performance range, with lows about 17.5% and highs well over 30. So a double-digit relative valuation to gold, up and down and up and down. It collapsed to 4%. In 2015, it might as well gone to zero. Okay, right now we're pushing up toward eight. It's still dirt cheap. It has a basing pattern on the spread itself that goes back 10 years since the 2015 low in the spread and in the price of monetary metals. That if you get much above that 8%, you have open field running, or you have a breakout of a decade-wide base. There's no resistance on that spread chart until you get at least up to 17.5%, the bottom of that prior multi-decade range. 8% to 17.5%. Wow.
That's
That's a
huge.
huge multiple. It means they double or triple versus gold. So if you're going to buy in the monetary metals, I suggest buying mining stocks. I think they'll have a lot more relative performance to the mama metal.
Got it. Talk a little bit about oil here. Oil to me has been interesting. I started accumulating some oil stocks and some energy stocks. I haven't gone full gung-ho yet as of yet. But yeah, talk to me really about your opinion on oil here.
First off, oil tends to move with the Bloomberg Commodity Index. In other words, it moves as a commodity pretty much in sync with the broad category. And you'll find that many commodities do tend to move with the Bloomberg. In other words, it's not like they're on their own and oil has a big bull and grains go down. They tend to go up together and go down together. And you can simply do that by finding a monthly Bloomberg commodity index chart, go back a couple decades, and then plot an oil chart, and you'll see the big moves are tend to be in sync. Since that 2022 high, 3 weeks after that war began, oil peaked. Bloomberg peaked. Bloomberg Commodity Index dropped from 140 down into the 90s, halfway back to what had been its bear low in 2020 at a price in the 50s. Okay. It leveled off for 2 years plus, Bloomberg did. And basically, what did oil do? It leveled off into a dull, low-priced range. Instead of 130 where it was in 2022, it dropped down to 60 area. give or take 10 bucks either side. Okay. And it's been asleep with all intermediate swings, 10 bucks here, 10 there, but it just doesn't really go anywhere. Okay. Oil is lagged to the Bloomberg right now by a bit. Bloomberg last month closed in strong enough for us to say it's resurrecting itself. It's probably going to
Interesting.
start a second leg. Well, but crude oil, which is right now either side of 60, it needs to get up to about 68. Now, when you look at a price chart of oil, WTI crude, 68 doesn't mean a lot on price. Because heck, we were up in that, that stupid Iran war news, okay, where idiots bought oil and drove it up into the 70s, okay, and they got bagged immediately for buying that war news.
Which you never do. You should never
Yeah,
do.
you
But go ahead. You
don't
sell the
buy head.
news, buy the
Yeah,
rumor, right?
headlines come later that are valid. The ones that try to precipitate a move one way or the other usually not work, especially war news. Anyway, $8 we got to go. Okay, that's a decent percent, but on a price chart, that's not a big deal. That will break oil out any month during this quarter on a long-term momentum basis that says, okay, I'm back. Okay, I'm going to join in with you, Bloomberg. Okay. Now, by the time we get into the first quarter, so we got 2 months left here, okay, get into the next quarter, I'm betting that number is going to drop down maybe to 65 or something. So the breakout number for crude out of this sick sideways action really is not far above. And it's at levels that most price guys will not notice as being significant. But momentum says, boy, I just blew a 4-year downtrend on momentum. And so I would look for that. And I agree with you. I think even the oil companies, as I understand, I don't know the details, are really not w wanting to hedge here. Because
That's correct.
it's silly. Why hedge here? This is stupid. This price isn't going to sustain, they're saying. And it's still dirt cheap compared to, it was 140, some years ago. And in 2022, it was 130. And now we're 60. And you want to hedge it? Okay, you get the point. So expect oil to join the Bloomberg. That's what I think.
That's great information, and it's actually a great opinion that I wasn't aware of. I've just been looking at it and following it, and I'm an oil, natural gas guy,
Okay.
but it's just I look at sentiment, and oil's so hated here, and the fundamentals
That's
don't stack up. It's
fine.
like,
Yeah.
yeah, I
Good.
mean, it makes me
Thank
very
you.
interested.
Thanks
Makes
for
me very
hating it. Yeah.
interested.
And Trump said he's going to keep it down, you know?
Yeah,
Wait, wait till that blows up in his face. Oh, God. Anyway.
So about that, and not to keep you too much longer, so would you be looking at cheap energy stocks or cheap
Yeah.
energy ETFs?
Some of those sectors have performed as anemic as oil. Some of them haven't. Some of them stayed up there, like XLE, for example. But anyway, yeah, I would be looking there. And if, when oil crosses its quarterly momentum breakout levels, and I said 68 this quarter, next quarter, probably going to be down around 65, I'm estimate. When you cross that level, you can just throw a dart at the oil sector, I think. A handful of them, or just by the ETFs. They will go with it. There's no question about it.
So in short, keep a look at 68 in the next quarter or so. That's number's going to de decrease to around 65-ish, correct?
Yeah, I'll have the number as we get later in the year. I'll be able to estimate more clearly. But you close a month over those numbers, it's a breakout. Momentum says, I'm back. Okay.
Yeah, and that works really well too. Again, I'm just trying to put the dots together to fundamentals, also to sentiment. It works really well for your thesis.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, Michael, huge fan. Just to all my viewers and listeners, I am a client. I'm an active subscriber. I read Michael's reports, as well as a lot of my friends here in Atlanta. And we discuss Michael. I just got out of a lunch today discussing you. Yeah, if people want to do business with you, if they want to read reports, how do they do that?
Well, we usually put out about 5 reports a week, including the weekend report, which is usually 10 or 15 pages. Generally, all asset categories, not just stocks or commodities. And during the week, we'll have intermittent reports on this or that issue. I'm going to put out a report in a few minutes on silver, short-term view of what it's going on. So that's what you get, and probably more than you want. Okay. But Anyway, we got to look at all those four major asset categories because they're banging into each other now and causing wave effects. So,
Yep, Michael, what's your website? And I'll put it in the show notes.
OliverMSA.com. OliverMSA.
Got it. I'll put it in the show notes. Michael, you're a good friend. I love talking to you, and I love reading reports pretty much every day. So, and now we'll be discussing with my friends. All right. I want to thank you so much. Looking forward to having you on again soon. Take care, my friend.
Thank you, Andy.